Hello, my fantastic radio listeners, and welcome to another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ...
Chunkalicious?
DJ Chunkalicious, and tonight we're introducing a brand new radio format. The radio show is called Transcending Boundaries, and tonight we are going to... this is so exciting, I can't even get the words out.
Is this going to be a very special episode?
This isn't going to be just an ordinary very special episode like on, you know, Family Ties or...
Where the alcoholic uncle
comes,
boss,
right? Or, you know, the main character gets Parkinson's.
First of all, we probably want to introduce people to the concept of this show, which is that for every phone call we get from someone asking us about a sexual or a... really a sexual or romance problem,
we're going to
remove an item of clothing. That's
all right.
There's nothing more appealing to me than three overweight guys. Well, two overweight guys and
a cyborg
taking off their clothes in an empty room.
It smells vaguely of sports guys. Transcending the boundaries.
Well, I was going to say, you'd think I would have sexual fantasies about the sports guys, but I don't. None of them turn me on. I mean,
what's the wrong sport, right? They're talking about football and hockey, not Greco-Roman wrestling and swimming.
And I also think you haven't really had the sort of quality time with them. You see them in a kind of sedentary position as opposed to coming in from the gym with a nice sheen of sweat, a patina of sweat on their...
Asking for somebody to oil their pecs or something, right? That might change your whole attitude.
I don't know. I mean, it's not – see, the thing is, I don't know much insight you have into my sexual persona, but it's not just their attitude and the environment that you find them in, but it's also we're talking about their appearance. I'm sorry, let's say. They're just a bunch of average-looking computer geeks.
Well, they're under
talking about sports. If it was Jonathan Taylor Thomas and, you know, the cast of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
I'm sorry. I completely think that you are fooling yourself on this. By the way, the phone numbers here for anyone who wants to call in are...
And make us get naked.
Are what are the numbers again?
621-WRCT.
Area code 412.
621-WRCT. Or if you're on campus, just 8-WRCT.
Al Gore's going to be here on Friday. I feel it's my duty to, in all seriousness, announce Al Gore is going to be here on Friday.
On the show?
On campus in front of Hammerschlag, giving a little speech, or, you know.
Now, I really want to explore this appearance issue. I mean, I'm thinking, of course, the famous Val Kilmer.
The President of the United States, and you want to talk about me and my appearance?
Your appearance. The way you are pigeonholing the people you desire.
That
think
is
of
more
Val,
important
Val
than
Kilmer
the
in the classic movie The Saint, one of everyone's favorite movies, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
How in one moment he can be the geeky science guy, as you were just talking about, but then the next he's an international jewel thief, right?
Are you talking about The Saint, or are you talking about Bruce Willis in The Jackal?
No, we're talking about Val Kilmer in The Saint.
And that was a remake too, right?
Yes,
probably.
If your knowledge about movies was as encyclopedic as mine, you would realize I was making a connection.
Oh, I see. Well, you didn't splice that part of your genome into my own, I guess.
So is it really all about appearance, or is there a spark?
Je ne sais quoi?
Spark's kind of a funny thing. I mean, I don't really believe in any kind of paranormal connection between human beings, but it is true that their apparent manifest disgust for me does kind of turn me off a little bit. I mean, so there's no spark in the traditional sense, since they all think I'm kind of a disgusting homosexual who should be put on a concentration camp and then killed.
Was that the topic of their show tonight?
I think so.
I missed it, yeah.
But
is this show tonight all about your sexual insecurities, or is there...
I thought it was.
Just double-checking.
That's where we're using as a jumping-off point before people call with their problems and we start removing clothing. What does make – I was actually having a conversation with a friend yesterday. She's a 16-year-old blonde exchange student from France named
– Brigitte.
Named Françoise. We were talking about what makes someone attracted to someone else. And there's a physical component, and I tend to maintain that there's also a very strong chemical
anal component. Oh, sorry.
A chemical component.
And I don't mean chemical in the kind of lame chemistry sense, like, oh, our chemistry is no good. But I mean, like, you know, you have to get close enough to someone. Not that I've ever heard that.
That sounds like that was coming from some painful personal experience.
Maybe. But you have to get close enough to someone to kind of smell them. And I mean, maybe if you encountered these men, you know, coming out of the gym, it wouldn't just be a physical attractiveness, but, you know, the pheromones would just take
over.
Well,
so, but see, I'm sorry. I mean, okay, well, so two things. I will offer both a positive reaction to your comment and a negative one. First, the negative one. I walk into the show every day, every week at 11, and I smell them. Believe me, the couch is soaked with their sweat. You know,
their oils, their sebaceous fluids, thick oleaginous gel covering every surface.
I mean, you know, unlike gay men who like shower twice a day and use kind of special oatmeal soaps and all kinds of creams and
unguents
and various rare oils on themselves in order
balms.
To. Balms. That's the next one.
Salves.
You know, these guys, you know, basically only shower three times a week, and the rest of the time they just run a sponge through their crotch and they're ready to go, right? So
much like the French.
Oh, interesting.
So it all comes together.
So, but, you know, I have to tell you a story. This story is not on topic, but you've reminded me of a story. I was playing. I was in the University Center the other week, and I was watching a group of undergrads play volleyball. And there was one undergrad that I was immediately and powerfully attracted to.
What was her name?
Her name? It was not a female in this case. It was a male. I was revealing my very rare homosexual impulses at this time. But I realized that, you know, he wasn't necessarily that great looking. He was sort of only like, you know, it's sort of like, you know, in Hollywood terms, he'd be like the, quote, ugly or, you know, geeky friend of the star, which means that in real life he was only like, you know, a 7 or 8 rather than like a 10. Or
so kind of a Janine Garofalo.
Right. The standard Janine Garofalo kind of thing, exactly. Or in the John Hughes days.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Well, yeah, Anthony Michael Hall's a good example because, you know, he's actually, right, he's got the geek, but he's actually a pretty good-looking person. Mm-hmm. Or I was thinking in the female world, like in that movie, Mary, what's her name? The blonde, help me out here.
Mary Stuart Masterson.
Mary Stuart Masterson, exactly. Thank you.
Wow.
Mary Stuart Masterson.
I know exactly the movie you're talking about, by the way.
You're pop.
Some Kind of Wonderful, maybe.
Yes, that's it.
And, of course, you know, Eric Stoltz or whoever that was went for her, like, so-called cute friend, even though we all knew that Mary Stuart Masterson, the ugly one, was actually cuter because she was hot, let's face it.
Or, indeed, like Molly Ringwald in, say, 16 Candles, right?
Excellent.
Where she was supposed to be the nerdy, undesirable one, but in any high school in America, she would have had, you know, more guys on her than Rock Hudson, I don't know.
Or, indeed, Molly Ringwald or her friend Ducky in 16 Candles, not 16 Ducky. Candles, Pretty in Pink.
Oh, yeah.
Ducky. I don't remember Ducky, but
he was supposed to be ugly and undesirable, but in real life, he was ugly and undesirable. I'm sorry. So you were saying so Ducky is over there, or Anthony Michael Hall is playing volleyball.
His package bouncing around in the gym.
And but the thing that I loved about this kid was that his pert buttocks, his
flexing and releasing.
But it was just his attitude. He was, like, smiling. He was being crushed. His team was losing so terribly. There was no chance in hell that they were going to win this game. It was really tragic. And all of his teammates were getting all clinchy about it. They were like, oh, God. You know, they'd miss something. And they'd get really mad, like, oh, shoot, I can't believe I missed that. And I'm like, oh, come on. This other team is, like, 100 times better than you are. Even if you're playing at your best and make no mistakes, you're going to lose miserably. Stop, you know, worrying about it. But this kid, I just loved his attitude. He was smiling.
That kind of sounds like my prom, by the way.
He kind of had the showers to look forward to. I think that's what he was thinking.
He was smiling. He was enthusiastic. He was really into the game. He was just enjoying himself. And there was no – like, if I were playing, I'd be full of self-loathing and self-criticism. And I would just hate myself just for being there. And, like, every, you know, moment I would just be – I would be disgusted myself. And that was what was so beautiful about this person. I said, I want to either be him, be his friend, or have sex with him, or be, you know, some combination of those three things.
Much like Matt Damon in The Talented Mr. Ripley, you wanted to possess him, and in so possessing him, become him. Yeah, okay, I'm there. Continue.
And indeed, like Matt Damon in The Talented Mr. Ripley, I ended up killing not only the entire team, but him, and I pinned it on you.
So, I was wondering.
By the way,
I feel left out having not seen this movie.
Oh,
figured it had something to do with the Believe It or Not guy. And
no, it actually had to do with Ripley from the Alien series. With
oh man,
it's about her husband who also had a creature growing inside her, and so on. I've actually read two of the Patricia Highsmith novels on which the Talented Mr. Ripley.
I'm still trying to understand why you want to possess this guy and you want to have hot, sweaty sex with him in the locker room, but...
You couldn't smell him, could you? See? I think that belies your little odoriferous theory there.
That's true.
The question was...
Chemistry.
How did this relate to chemistry? No, the question was, it was not merely his appearance. He was not sort of the most attractive person on his team. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was sort of kind of average in appearance, although I liked his appearance. But it was his attitude and his charisma and it's just kind of like je ne sais quoi, if you will. Hey, pay attention.
I
said a French word.
sorry. I was thinking and my eyes were glazing over.
So
it happens so rarely.
That was why I told the story, because it actually keyed into what you're saying about how it's not always just appearance and these other factors. It's the point is that there are subtler factors that sometimes bring us together.
But before I so rudely interrupted you before, as opposed to how I'm rudely interrupting you now, you started to say something about Al Gore, and I realized that, you know, I do want to hear what you had to say, because, of course, it might lead into a discussion of the three Gore girls, Karenna, Kirsten, and I can't
Bambi.
Remember. I really don't care. It just starts with a K, and she's way cute.
Yeah, this is the first, you know, chance America's had in decades to have some...
Since Amy Carter, right?
Some really hot chicks in the White House.
Well, okay, some longer than that.
I mean, Amy Carter was not recognized as a hot chick, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, but the Gore girls...
Well, James Buchanan's daughter, Purity. Prudence. She was pretty hot, wasn't she?
I think probably Baby Ruth was the last one, right?
Maybe. I don't know. What about Nixon? Didn't he have a daughter? Was she cute?
She wasn't cute. Patricia Nixon was not cute.
I have no idea.
More like Patricia Hearst. But, I mean, the potential for, you know, teenagers masturbating to dreams of being in a Gore Girl sandwich, triple-decker sandwich, are just – I mean, for me, that's enough to just Al Gore all the way. You know,
absolutely.
Right there, I'm all about that.
You're a one-issue voter, and that issue is
sex.
Hot butt, right?
Absolutely.
Hot ass.
Well, I think this is really important, actually, since we are a Pennsylvania radio station and since Pennsylvania is a swing state, I think people need to realize that there are more issues in this election.
State.
Exactly, than that are on the surface. And so if you want to see, you know, imagine that the White House sort of security cameras, which have to be on all the time to protect the president and his family, you know, accidentally one night caught the Gore girls in a little – experimental lesbian three-way or a slumber party with perhaps
the slumber party that got out of hand. They're, I can kind of picture the scene now. They're let's see, they're in their bedroom. They all sleep together, of course,
right,
even
when
they're married, and they're in their 90s, right?
I think short shorts and maybe
a teddy for
teddy.
The older one.
I think the daughter of like the prince of I don't know
Monaco
should be there.
Okay.
Actually, we know all about the who's left in Monaco. Like that Grace, what's her name? Princess Grace's daughter is still alive. Mm-hmm. Princess Stephanie. She's kind of skanking.
How about Britney Spears is sleeping over?
Britney Spears, right. She'd be invited to the White House.
And there's a pillow fight.
Excuse me.
Pillow fight, absolutely.
Wexford hottie Christina Aguilera,
of course.
Is our.
She comes in later, dressed in black leather. Because I've always pictured her more as the Dom, whereas Britney is definitely like...
Well, that's how you lead into it. There's a wacky, you know, mistaken identity thing. Wexford hottie Christina Aguilera comes to the door, and they think she's Britney Spears trying to sneak in. There. I'm sorry, Miss Spears, but you've already checked in, you know. And then they call the police, and she's put in jail, in the White House jail.
Ooh,
and then the Gore girls have to go rescue her.
This is far more elaborate than my usual fantasy line.
Well, with the Gore girls, they really deserve that extra effort. You know, I mean, just the fact that they went to make three of them for you.
Do you think
really...
we violated any federal laws right now?
No.
Like fantasizing about the Gore girls.
If we've violated any laws, then let me be guilty.
The laws of love.
Now, do either of the candidates have hot sons? I mean, does Bush? George W. have any...
Does he have kids?
The whole thing...
I think he sold them for crack.
Oh, you know whose son is hot? You know whose son is hot is the Florida Bush. He's married to that Mexican woman or some kind of Latina woman. I don't know what her deal is. Gorgeous. You know, you mix these races and then you have really cute kids. He's got this sort of half Latino son. And he was actually one of people's hottest bachelors, like the 100 most eligible bachelors.
I guess we'll get a hot lesbian in the White House if Bush is elected, right? Because of Cheney's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have no idea, like, what kind of criteria women use for hot lesbian, but I'm going to just continue to use the phrase since I like it so much.
I'd like to point out we're still wearing all our clothes because no one has called in to
412-621
WRCT.
So call in. Share your questions, comments, and concerns about Gordotters, threesomes.
I know there's someone out there somewhere who needs help, who needs our advice, who is just having a problem, having a rough time, and if only
you could
he or she would call in, we would be able to help him or her with their problem.
So let's talk about you,
okay,
Peter, mystery guest. Last time we had you on the show, which was, a month and a half ago?
Something like that.
You told us the heart-wrenching yet strangely creepy story of the time you lost your virginity, of your first sexual experience.
Yes.
It wasn't actually strangely. I mean, it was pretty on the surface.
Okay, it was pretty damn
obvious.
Very
clear that it was creepy.
In fact, it made me really want to wash afterwards. In fact, actually, just tonight
I've been washing since, and I can't get the stink off.
In fact, just tonight I was describing this scene to a friend of mine. And actually, she asked who was going to be on the show tonight, and I mentioned it was you, and she wanted to know.
Is she cute?
Yes, well, she's my girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
So, hands off, Chester. And she knows all about your sleazy past now, so you have no chance. But anyway, it actually made me feel dirty to relate this story to her, even though I wasn't there, even though I wasn't even in the same state when it happened. It still made me feel dirty. I just wanted you to know that your story is touching in a way almost nothing else in this world is touching except for a bowl full of scorpions.
I actually got mail from someone about this just yesterday, in fact. I was whoring the link of the story to someone on the meme pool mailing list. I'm very bitter at meme pool, by the way, that they wouldn't whore my link for me.
This is www.memepool.com.
Memepool.com.
We should pronounce it memepool just to cheese off Jim.
The world's only weblog.
Yeah. So anyway, she had read this story, and she felt compelled to send me mail to share what a sensitive and really
loathsome?
Touching.
Oh.
Well, loathsome too, but she was touched by the honesty of my details.
Wow.
And then she kind of went off into this rant about how the world was a completely unjust place and cruel place that judged women particularly only on how they look, and that, people who are ugly and overweight, like the protagonist Ricks of my story.
Protagatrix?
The victim in my story.
But I think you described both of yourselves as ugly and overweight, if I recall the story.
But she was concerned with this, how, maybe someday we'll live in a just world where that isn't the case. And being a complete, utter pig, I immediately jumped to the conclusion that this woman wasn't very good looking. And I think that's a very interesting,
Well, she did set herself up for that, right?
You think?
Absolutely.
May I have another of Das Fresh Makers?
Oh, sure. I brought Mentos for everybody. And if you call, I promise to mail you a Mento anywhere in the world.
At 412-621-9728.
That's right. Or if you're on campus, 89728. That is WRCT. Spelled in numbers.
So I started writing another story about another event.
Right.
I could tell you a little bit about it.
Sure.
It's actually more interesting when I tell it, I think, because I never actually got to finish it. In the written form. I got about three-quarters of the way through.
I thought you meant in the flesh form.
Well, that too.
All right.
God darn it. Are we allowed to say that now? I can't.
God darn it?
No, all these, what I was trying to say.
The producer will correct me if I'm wrong. I can say God damn on the air, but I can't refer to a specific person. Just as a general comment, I can
say then God damn it. No, I didn't.
That's too bad.
So I'd gotten into a discussion with someone about threesomes. And threesomes, foursomes, fivesomes, and really
logistics get complicated after two.
The closest I've ever been to a threesome was when DJ Chumbawamba 2000 here took me to the Arena Health Club, and I kind of.
And you bent over to pick up the soap.
The Arena Health Club, for those listeners who are not aware, is less health club and more
arena.
More soapy anal penetration club.
It's assorted. Sorted local gay bathhouse where people go to kind of hang out and have sex.
Isn't that a bit redundant? Are there any gay bathhouses which aren't sorted?
Well, actually, there are. It's funny you should say that. Of course there are. See, the thing is, as we were told when we were at the arena, the guy who – this is just my personal opinion, by the way, not the opinion of
the
station.
He will do anything to derail us from our story.
Well, we'll get back to your –
sad little hetero world in a moment.
But as we were told, the man who owns the arena has the first penny he's ever made off of it, meaning that he's never paid for any renovations or paid to keep it up. I'm told that bathhouses in other cities like, gorgeous Toronto or, other big cities. Even Columbus has a nice bathhouse, you know, which are actually bona fide kind of workout facilities. You can go there, you can swim, you can use little weights, and have sex in the steam room. But it's not a total, it's Adam's Family style, you know, rundown kind of. Actually, turning the arena into an Adam's Family style gay bathhouse would be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, a goth themed gay bathhouse.
But proceed along your tragic little hetero path. I don't even remember what it was now.
All I was going to say is that's the closest I ever came to that was walking past a room and kind of looking in, and there was like five people arrayed in some sort of
intricate daisy
geometric. Yeah, it was very impressive, actually. One guy on the bottom who looked like he was getting crushed, going.
Reminds me of Dad.
But it's a common guy fantasy, right? I think most guys. I don't know about women. I assume that. Some of them at least have fantasies of being involved in with more than one partner.
Having
at the
sex
same
with
time.
Four guys in a gay bathhouse. I'm not sure that's a common gay fantasy, although maybe our society would be better if it were.
So I just told the story of the one time I came as close to that as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I failed. I failed because I was too nice to tell the fourth wheel to get lost.
Wait, what? I think to quote the inimitable DJ Chocolate Cookie, we're going to have to turn the detail knob all the way up on that. I think you glossed over something very important there. So there were four people you were going to have sex with?
I have to punish you electronically because he talked about this on the show last time he was here.
Did I?
Think. Maybe I just.
No. Well, if I did, I don't want to repeat myself. No. That would
maybe
be,
I just read it in
that
your,
cattle prod away from my genitals. I haven't heard this story before.
All right. I'm sorry. I read it somewhere.
Well, the bottom line is there were three of – there was me and two women and one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And me and the two women were drinking. We were drinking alcohol,
uh-huh.
Which
so
is
when you
of
say
course,
drinking like that. What you mean is you were engaged in a kind of activity which was legal—a legal consumption of a certain kind of drug, i.e., alcohol,
right—and
no other kind of drug which would not be legal.
Right. So there's no question whatsoever that anything illegal would have gone on because that would be wrong.
Right. That's right. The government knows what's best for us.
Just like George Bush, I think that no one has the right to pry into my life, but I've never done anything like that. So the three of us were drinking, and the man involved was not, and he was really harshing our alcohol high, as the case may be. I liked one of these girls, and the other girl liked me, and this guy was in love with the other girl that liked me, and it was just I wasn't even thinking at this point of sex. I was thinking of how my alcohol high was being harshed, and
right.
I really just wanted to escape from this environment with three people drinking and having fun, and one person staring at us. Like this. You can't see it, but his eyes were wide, and he just kind of watched the bottle pass back and forth.
I'm imagining sort of a Jim Lehrer, if you saw the debates, the sort of Jim Lehrer.
Black pools of evil. Yeah, sure. He looked almost like Jim Lehrer, but blonde. Yeah, that was very much, and fatter.
And so you told this guy to buzz off?
Well, so I casually said that,
drunk off,
right. I casually said that maybe we should that me and the two girls should go to my place where we could drink more. Uh-huh. And he had said, because he had said that he wanted to go do something else. And I said,
right.
Okay, well, we're just going to go drink.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to go see him. We all got up and he decided to follow along. And I did not have the intestinal fortitude to say, you know, I'm really enjoying the mild feeling of well-being I get from alcohol. Could you please go somewhere else?
Well, and that story's going to have to be interrupted because
this could be one of the four people, one of the three others actually calling.
Could.
Right
we
now.
Have a phone call, is that
and
right?
The listeners always come first.
Welcome, caller. Thank you for calling in.
Hi. Yeah. Well, the reason why I'm calling is I heard you were talking about threesomes, and well, I got these two really hot roommates, and I'm wondering how I can score with them.
Okay, we need you to give us a few more details.
Oh, yeah.
What's the kind of arrangement here in terms of gender and maybe general feeling of intimacy? How long have you been living with these guys?
Yeah, let's start with genders first.
Well, I've been living with them since the beginning of the summer. One of them's female, one of them's male.
Hmm.
They're both pretty damn hot.
Well, you sound
I
very
think
open.
He's got it for me bad. I don't know about him, though.
Is he like kind of the... Is he a bear? Is he a big hairy guy? Is he more of the slim-hipped and willowy, you know, very kind of David Bowie-esque, hairless type of guy? I'm just trying to get a picture here.
So it's like Leonardo DiCaprio or Cordell Stewart, two ends of the spectrum.
Oh, he's very well-shaped cut mm-hmm. academic type.
And how about her? Is she kind of waify, or is she the more
full
figured? No, not Delta Burke, but more full figured, maybe a little more curvy.
Full figured for sure.
Curvy.
Oh yeah.
So that's a good full figured.
Oh, a very good full figured.
Okay, well, okay. I think we've kind of set the. This at the stage here, oh, yeah.
Oprah, you said, was that accurate?
No, no, no,
Oprah.
No.
Well, it depends on when you catch Oprah, right? There's this whole sine wave-like property to her.
And by the way, I have to object to all of your objectifications of women. I find all women beautiful and innately valuable, whether or not they match society's current perception of beauty. But please, don't want to harsh your butt.
Damn your gay trumping of our pathetic hetero.
So what's the feeling like between you? I mean, you said that she wants you, but you don't really know about him. Is that the scenario?
Yeah, well, telling the truth, I'm not really sure about his orientation, and I'm kind of a bit clueless as to how to ascertain that.
Well, so one of the nice things about... One of the nice things about threesomes, I think we can definitely help about this, is that when you have three people, there's an inherent instability to that. And I think if anyone's involved in that situation where you're getting naked with two other people and at least one of them is the same sex and one of them is the opposite sex, I think it's kind of understood that there's going to be some give and take and that the lines blur. And so speaking as a guy, if – I were to make it – what's your DJ name here?
Dr. Sexopolis.
If I were to make it with DJ Dr. Sexopolis here on the couch, that would be gay, okay? But if I were to make it with DJ Dr. Sexopolis and, say, his girlfriend,
right.
That would not be gay.
Or what about Dr. Sexopolis and the three gore girls?
Well, that would not be gay at
all. Not at all. In fact, that would be
anti-gay.
That would be filmed and put on the internet.
Yeah. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, no, I was going to say as a more – practical issue.
I just have to say, Gorgogirl Bukkake video. Do you think that would be possibly?
I'm suddenly distracted. So anyway, so as a more practical issue, right? Like, there's no way that you, as a lone agent, are going to arrange a threesome, right? You're going to have to. It's going to have to be a two-on-one type of situation. So your best bet is probably to get her interested, and then maybe have her approach him about it.
Oh, that's crafty.
Right? Because if she approaches him about it, it's her being sexy. But if you approach him about it, it's you being gay.
Well, slow down, Mr. Heteronormative.
Like, you know what I mean?
I don't – who – what is the caller's sexual orientation? Do you have one?
Well, I worry a bit because, you know, what you said about having her approach him, she's a bit shy.
Okay, my earlier point I think stands, though, that you're not going to – kind of spring this on both of them and get away with it. You're going to have to get one of them interested in it along with you.
Could you
and
maybe
then get the third interested in? Do you see what I mean?
Could you maybe engage? So if you're sure she's into it, maybe what you do is when she's around, but he doesn't know she's around, you engage him in some randy discussion about how hot she is. And you kind of, you know, work the fantasy angle where, oh, that's, wouldn't you love to do this? And
that's very Brady Bunch. Well, in a twisted, X-rated way.
Wait, are either of you brothers or sisters? Because if you are, I don't know. No.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Actually, I have two comments to make. First, I think you avoided my question about your own sexual orientation. So what is it?
Spill?
Maybe a bit curious.
Interesting.
Okay, so.
And also, I just wanted to share that I saw a TV show about sperm donation, and there's this danger in the future. All these sperm donor kids are going to be born. You don't know who the fathers are. It's going to be more and more people who might be brothers of each other, brothers and sisters, and might be getting married and then having mutated kind of freakish children because of it.
Although inbreeding actually has just as good a chance of reinforcing positive attributes as negative attributes. So we might end like witness Salt Lake City.
I have
an unusual supply of hot blondes that live there.
I have a very, very practical question for our caller, who I'm going to name Bob. Is that okay, Bob?
Sure.
How much do either you or, more importantly, the two people you are hoping to deceive into bed, how much do they drink?
Well, her drink quite a bit. He doesn't.
At all?
No. Never seen him take a drink at all.
Who? Boy.
It makes it harder.
Yes.
Do you think he likes her? So here, let me bounce this off of DJ Sexopolis. Dr. Sexopolis.
I didn't go to sex school for 6 years for nothing. Chester.
What about if... See, what you really want to happen is for him, meaning non-Bob, the other roommate.
We'll call him Thad.
Thad. For Thad and let's – what should we call the
– Velma?
Bettina?
Bettina?
Bettina. For you really want Thad and Bettina to hook up. And while they're in kind of the heat of the moment, you can then kind of – Bob can swoop in.
Wearing just a towel.
Or a clown costume, I was
right.
thinking.
Much harder to get the blood out.
And join in. I mean, that
– Well – That could backfire really, really disastrously, right? And when you're dealing with roommates, a disastrous backfire means you have nowhere to sleep that night, right? So I think this has to be handled with a bit more delicacy and a little bit less wacky episode of Sex in the City.
Well, one thing you could do is try and establish Thad's biorhythm. What you should do is –
I mean
your roommates – can you tell when one of your roommates is kind of, you know, playing with themselves? I mean, can you hear? Do you – Or are you, like, separated by your different bedrooms?
Do you have no sense of decency, whatever?
If I had any sense of decency, would I be on this show? Talking about people I've had sex with who then died! No!
You still there, Bob, or have you given up on us?
I'm here.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, actually...
Bob, are you stroking?
Hush. Sorry, what?
They're kind of loud, and I think I can tell.
So he has a possibility of, again, improving his chances by approaching Thad when he's on a kind of sexual peak. Then.
I don't know. Like, masturbation's a private time. I don't think you want to be interrupted.
I'm not saying you barge in while he's throwing down on himself and go, hold it, I've got a better use for that, penis. I'm just saying, like, generally through, like, when you schedule the event in, say, the course of a month.
I'm thinking what Dr. Laura would say in this situation, and what I think Dr.
What about the children?
What Dr. Laura would say is that maybe you could engage Thad in some web surfing. Just say, hey, Thad, I've been looking at these wacky, crazy websites. What do you think? And that could be like polyamory.org, you know, or like two girls and a guy, or two guys and a girl.
.com.
Doubleentry.com. Or just say, I've always wondered what it would mean to, like, have both of us penetrate a woman simultaneously while, you know, kissing each other homosexually. .edu. So what I'm saying is that, you know, as kind of a funny thing, just be like, oh, look at all these sort of sexy websites, and, like, gauge his interest while making it sort of not your...
I have really practical advice. I mean, the alcohol thing was practical. And if he doesn't,
we're
just
doomed. The internet is practical. I mean, the internet has changed society.
I think the web browsing is a good idea. I think it really is. But the key point...
You don't
think
it's too forced? You don't think it's too obviously set up?
No. It's okay to be obviously set up. But the key here is, and I think that Dr. Sexopoulos is trying to make, is that the frontal approach won't work. And that if you try and just say to him...
You know, just showing up naked in their bed one night.
Well, that might work if he's drunk. I mean, but again, he doesn't drink. So, the alcohol thing is a real high barrier if he's kind of uptight.
I think in Twister or wrestling, maybe.
I still think that because you think Velma or Bettina or whatever her name is, Velma is a little bit hot for your action.
Her name is Bettina and his name is Tad.
Thad. Okay, I think because Bettina, you think, is slightly hot for your action, I really think the key is to get her buy-in to this plan. Do you know what I mean? I think she'll be the easy one if you get her interested. And then perhaps she'll have good ideas. Perhaps she's already been sleeping with Thad and knows he's into it. Or who knows? Double the brain power, you know? Two heads better than one.
Maybe the three of you can just, along those lines, the three of you can maybe watch a movie together. You and Bettina can cuddle up, be rubbing each other's feet, and then say, oh, poor Thad is all left out. Let's rub his feet.
I've seen that work. That could
You've
work.
You've seen it work?
That's good.
I've never seen it work, like, in the sense of full-fledged sex. But certainly I've seen that happen, that sort of scenario happen, where the third person doesn't immediately, like, shy away in horror at being touched by the other two. So it's a good way to establish physical contact, which is a first step.
Yeah, you've
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that is.
But let me tell you one thing. I don't know approximately how old you are, but let me just give you the benefit of experience. Once you turn 34, as I have, no one will want to have sex with you anywhere, anytime. So get this over with now while there's still a chance. For God help you, you're going to hate yourself forever, as I do. Don't – even if
– Yikes.
Even if there's an 80% probability of failure.
We just looked into the abyss.
Don't let this opportunity pass you by because you'll be bitter about it forever.
Remember, it's better to regret the things you've done than to regret the things
Exactly. I mean, I was actually
– Especially the things you've done with Thad and Bettina.
I was actually – let's not even go here, but I was, you know, there was a four or five way thing that I almost got sucked into at college, but somehow I was too shy to get involved.
And you regret it?
Regret? There's no word in the dictionary that describes my feeling of self-loathing and horror, macabre,
macabre. Every day you wake up and go, "Why, Lord, why?"
Exactly. So, you know, I got, you know, the Lord has given you this chance. You know, grab it with all fours and don't let go until you've extracted their sweet, sweet nectar.
So, what kind of movie do you think Bob and Thad and Bettina should watch?
That's actually a very important question, right?
I mean, it probably can't be straight porn because that. Getting somebody to watch porn with you is right.
I think it would make them more defensive, actually.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And it shouldn't be something too depressing, like if it's Shoah or something, some kind of. Or Schindler's List might be a little little.
I'm thinking like
on the sexy.
The first third of The Unbearable Lightness of Being, maybe, or something.
The Crying Game.
Oh, brilliant. That's good. I like that.
Maybe I've got to confess, I've never scored after Schindler's List, and. The idea of watching The Crying Game doesn't work for me, really.
Well, what about like The Sixth Sense? And imagine the erotic surprise—you know, the erotic potential of
Sixth Sense.
Remember the end when you discover Bruce Willis is actually a robot. That was very sexy for me.
Are there any genres of movies that you're all into?
Excuse me.
Are there any genres of movies you're particularly into? He asked.
What?
Oh. Oh, Hong Kong action, magical girl anime.
Wait, what was that like?
Anime.
Medical girl anime? I didn't realize that medical girl was like that.
I am very, very excited.
And that could be, there's a lot of ambiguity there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of
interesting, kind of, sexy anime.
And you don't have the illusion that you're sitting down to watch something about sex. It's just, oh, we're watching a sci-fi, you know, an anime thing.
Oh, what are those tentacles doing?
Right.
Oh, that poor nurse.
Bob, we have another, what?
Two colors.
Bob, we have some other callers on hold, and we'd like to kind of cycle through them. But this is a very interesting problem and conundrum you've set for us, and I think we'd like you to hang around. Is that possible? Can we do that?
I think my roommates are going to get back soon.
Okay,
well, it's even better.
If things work out, if we finish up with our other callers and they're not back, give us a call back. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Wow, fantastic. We have so many callers on hold. I want to thank the other callers for being so patient. And if the next caller is on the air, I would like to welcome him to the
or her.
Him or her to the...
Or them.
The Palace of the Macabre.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from a cell phone, and I used to be a CMU student. And whenever I was a CMU student, I have advice to give to Bob.
Hey, excellent.
From a CMU alumni, my advice to Bob is back rubs, especially if you have thumbs that can bend backwards 90 degrees. You can give amazing, wonderful, penetrating back rubs.
Okay.
My back rubs have led me to sex on like 3 or 4 occasions, most memorable of which ended up with 6 other guys and a girl.
Wow.
Okay.
That must be some back rub.
I mean, how do you give a back rub to 6 guys and a girl at once? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
No. That's the orgy part. The back rub basically...
Okay, look, no offense. Let's skip the back rubs and go straight to the orgy part. Tell us about that.
No, the back rubs are critical.
Right. We're asking you to turn the detail on this all the way up to 11.
The scenario is, I'm at a party, I'm bored. In walks a girl. And I say, hey, would you like a back rub?
You just cold say this to her.
Sure.
That's the opening line.
Does she know you?
No, not at the time.
All right.
Wow.
She must have been drinking.
Then, like, back rub, about 15 minutes later, everyone else at the party says, go downstairs. We go downstairs. The 6 other men at the party, who happen to be gay, decide, you know what? We've never actually seen straight people, like, doing it. So they come down with cameras, and after a while, they get kind of turned on.
After a while, I think you skipped one of the most important parts of the story here. How did you segue from giving a stranger a back rub to full vaginal penetration with cameras and an audience?
Well, let's just say there were vodka jello shots involved.
So you and this girl go down the stairs.
Yes.
Right? Lo and behold, 6 gay men, digital broadcast unit set up, webcam, movie rights.
No, this is way
stained
back
mattress
when,
on the floor.
We only had film cameras.
Okay, but you go down to the basement, like, how do the clothes start coming off?
I understand. His magic hand, his massage was so arousing.
Well, actually, the clothes were starting to come off upstairs, which is why they told us to go down.
I see. Okay. So you were kind of like slipping your hands underneath her shirt and maybe unhooking her bra. And at some point, they kind of looked over and saw what was going on.
Saw
and said,
those
ew,
breeders.
Head
yeah.
cooties, go away.
They literally said, get a room, you two.
Yes.
So you go downstairs. You're already kind of rounding second, maybe heading towards third.
Yep.
And so what kind of accoutrements are in the basement? Are we talking stained mattress on the floor, you know, a leather pommel horse a la Pulp Fiction?
Actually, the stained mattress on the floor is pretty much coherent.
That's classy. Mm. So, okay, so you lay her down and begin to
do
make
what?
Your sweet, sweet moves.
Make sweet loving.
What position?
Standard missionary.
Did you have any trouble getting it up with an audience?
Well, the audience wasn't there yet.
Well, actually, with the jello shots that were the most impeded, the audience was no problem. I had previous experience with S&M as a masochist.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And that basically helped the whole audience bit.
Are you bisexual?
At the time, I was. Although, after a while, I just got tired of the whole gay thing and just became straight.
I so know what you mean.
So the idea of gay men watching you was kind of a turn-on then?
Yeah.
At some level.
It was a little annoying at times, though.
So I have a question.
Were they
really
offering suggestions?
I have a question. I'm trying to capture the exact moment when they burst into the basement. So were you on an in-stroke, an out-stroke? I mean, were you actually engaged at that point? Did you have any trouble maintaining the erection when six pairs of feet clamber down the stairs and it might be the police? I mean, nothing like that.
No, but the camera flash was kind of interesting for a moment there.
Yeah.
I asked, what are you doing down here? And he said, well, I've never seen straights have sex. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And I continued on.
Did she care?
No.
Was she conscious? I mean, was this a roofie thing? Because if it was, I don't approve.
Because you weren't involved. So the six guys are down there. Flashes are flashing. You know, penises are thrusting, pumping.
Yep.
Buttocks clenching, releasing.
And they get hot. I mean, you know this because they said they got hot. Did the Levi's 501 buttons come open? Or
the Dolce & Gabbana's hit the floor?
Well, within 30 minutes, everyone downstairs was naked.
Wow, so they just started shucking clothing.
Yep.
And so I take it there was probably hot gay action going on alongside you.
I just have to say this now.
Oh, yes. There's plenty of action going along.
I'm going to kill myself. Everyone has a better sex life than me.
Yeah. I mean, so at what?
Suicide pact.
I think this is like a 9 sigma sex life.
This was after a 6-month dry spell.
Wow. So at what point did they start the men's – oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Because I'm actually a level 2 world-class poker player, almost won the Nationals last year, I have to tell you've revealed the tell, a.k.a. the fact that makes your whole story false. I realized now that you're lying, and it is because you can never get six gay men at a party to like each other, much less have sex with each other. That is.
I was going to say all of them were having sex with each other. There were a bunch of masturbators.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So how many guys were just stroking?
I'd say about four of the six.
Okay, that's starting to make a bit more sense. Thank you, Mr. Gay Expert. Dr. Chocolopolis. So one or two of these guys then begins touching you?
Oh, yes.
Do you feel gentle probing from behind or something? Like, what context? What happens?
Needing the smooth twin
like
gloves of
rubbing,
your ass?
No direct penetration.
Oh, wait, what?
Was there a little probing with fingers for your prostate or what?
No,
that's too bad. That's pretty selfish of them. I mean, come on, that prostate. It's a love button, baby.
Well, it's my love button.
did you see this woman afterwards?
Oh, yes. We dated for a good, 3 or 4 months.
Where does a relationship go from that? Like, that's the start. let's bungee jump it.
So did this girl participate in any of the sex with the two guys, or was it basically the two guys on you, on her?
Well, that's an interesting aspect of the story.
Very.
After a while, I realized, you know what, I really got to get up and go to class tomorrow, the next morning.
What?
I mean, I'm glad that you have your priorities straight. You know, about declining educational standards.
The stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
You hadn't had sex in 6 months. You're having a four-way.
Right. Hot gay action from behind.
Your prostate
hot hetero action or fun.
Getting slammed by two.
Prostate twitching like a epileptic on a rodeo bull, and you think, oh, God, I have calc tomorrow?
That's right.
You are a CMS.
Well, I mean, after about an hour, there was only so much my poor member could do.
I would think so. So you were thrusting and pumping away, and they were doing what? Did she get any extra dick?
Well, that's an interesting point, because she was also getting pretty tired. So, got dressed, went upstairs, came down, and...
I mean, had either of you come by this point?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, get upstairs, go down, and she has this awful look on her face of, you know what, I really want to leave, but... I'm kind of pinned down by a couple of gay men who are starting to think they're bi. So I bring out my massage oil, because at the time I gave lots of people back rubs.
Your logic is so perfect.
Let me tell you, that is a brilliant response to her not wanting to leave without the massage oil. God.
It's like a...
You're a mad genius.
It was a little, like, 2-ounce bottle, but it was really useful.
I feel like you're one of the X-Men in the massage oil.
Sexor.
You need utility belt. my power penis is failing me here.
So you went upstairs and left her down there with...
For about 2 minutes.
So you came back down and, like, penises are battering at her maiden gate, as it were.
Well, actually, they're getting ready to batter. They found some condoms, and they were getting ready to batter. And she had this look on her face of, you know what, I'm really tired of this. So I whip out the mineral-based massage oil and, like, spray her down.
So she's slippery and harder to grab a hold of.
But it gets better. And then I say, oh, no, it's mineral-based. Damn it, your condoms will...
Devious.
That is very clever.
You're working on
multiple levels.
So I worked on the classic fear of the early 90s of, oh, my God, we're going to get AIDS.
Jesus, that was a brilliant move. Not only do you endear her to you because you've just rescued from the penises, but now she's oiled up and grateful. Good God, that should be patented. I can't express my admiration for you in mere human words.
And, you know what, I kind of wish this was like a fake story, because then I could say, you know, it's all a lie and I made it up and aren't I really cool. But no, this actually happened. This is a piece of reality, and now I can never, ever, ever run for public office. Because there's still a roll of film floating around somewhere of me and six other guys and a chick.
But frankly, I would trade senator, governor, president,
I would.
Pope,
I don't
for
want, I don't want to be a pope.
Hot six-way action.
Yeah. Caller, this is a really fabulous call, and I hope we catch you next week. Also, I think we're...
Why do we have to go?
There are other callers on the line.
Oh, my God.
Our show is nearing its end.
Perhaps the best call we've gotten in 6 months, and we're going to have to cut you short. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well,
please call back again with more stories.
I want to hear more of your adventures in the future, because you are my hero.
Yes.
Okay.
Call back Tuesday at 11. We're here every week with nothing better to do than
talk about you and your beautiful sex life.
Have a good night.
Thanks
all
a
right,
lot.
Night.
All right. The calls continue.
Hello, is the new caller on the air?
The clothes are coming off here. DJ Chumbawamba has already removed his shirt. Hi, caller.
Hello.
Can you follow that story up?
No, my story's in a kind of completely different end of the spectrum. I'm not sure anybody can follow that story up.
Maybe Pamela Lee.
So hit us with your best
anyway,
shot.
Yeah.
What's up?
Or Anna Nicole Smith, I was going to say, with her 90-year-old husband, who's apparently a sexual dynamo. But please, the show is all about the caller.
So I was going to relate my threesome experience, which was... actually, not so good. I know it's like, you know, classic male fantasy, but for me, it ended up it didn't work.
All right, tell us about it.
Wow. So I was dating a girl. We'd been together for a while, months, you know, probably 6 months or so.
Uh-huh.
And she was. I don't know if she's bisexual, but she certainly. Interested in other women,
mm-hmm.
and one of her friends is also kind of in the same situation. So we had talked about it, and she had actually brought it up to me originally.
So she suggested, and you were like, "Yeah, whatever, okay."
Well,
if that's
like
what you want.
Yeah, I
don't really want to do that, babe. But if you need that for you, that's how good my love is. Yeah, okay. We've all said that. Okay.
Right. So I was really kind of speechless when we first started talking about this. I'm like, I never even thought about that, actually. It just didn't occur to me. But you know, so we talked about it, and I said, well, yeah, I'm, you know, yes, I'm interested.
I'm game.
It was a hard decision to make.
Yes.
But so we kind of talked about it. I know she had been talking to her friend about it. And so let's see. So, but we never really arranged anything. It was just kind of out
right.
there.
All theoretical right now.
Yes.
Okay, so get to the good stuff because we're running out of time.
We have 3 minutes left. We're sorry.
Okay. Short version of the story. So through a series of events, I end up laying in bed with the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's another guy there. But
that bastard. He was at mine, too.
But well, so this guy, actually a very nice guy, and kind of realized that something was going on and that he should leave, and he did that.
Ah, what a gentleman.
Right, so... So the three of us are laying in bed, and, you know, there's a lot of touching going on, a lot of fondling, and so, you know, at some point, you know, we're kind of fooling around. We look at each other, and kind of like, well, do we really want to do this, right? And mm-hmm. it was very clear that my girlfriend's friend did, and I was, I think, understandably interested at this point.
Your girlfriend backed out.
No. Well, so the problem is, so it's the real short version of the story. She didn't back out then, but... She didn't want to do it, but she didn't say that at that point. And it caused some tension later on.
Okay, here's my advice to
all... So wait, some tension later on. You're saying you went through with it. You had your hot threesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, it ended up not being that hot, obviously.
Lukewarm,
I mean,
threesome.
Because my girlfriend was, you know, she wasn't...
Were there orgasms?
Into it. What's that?
Were there orgasms or at least one?
Actually, none of us. It was very... kind of disappointing threesome.
Was there penetration, or was this mostly just fondling and groping? And
there was no penetration. There was lots of oral sex and fondling.
I think that counts. I think that counts.
That's pretty good.
See, I have this theory for how to have sex in a threesome that I will give to everyone right now, and you need to take this with a big grain of salt because I've never done it successfully. But I've had 2 abortive attempts now. You haven't heard of the second one.
Wow. Next week.
Maybe. My theory is never talk about it explicitly. Never say, gee, Thad, would you like to have sex with me and Bettina? Second is back into it. You want to be there with, you know, one person's penis in your hands and your hands down someone else's pants, acting like nothing is happening. You want to ideally have, like, a big-ass duvet or comforter over you so you could all just kind of, like, plausible denial. That's what it's all about. And then by the time you actually are thinking or talking about it, at that point, you've reached the point of no return. You may as well enjoy it. That's my theory, but, you know, like I've ever had any, so clearly I'm...
You're actually acting as a human conduit between one person's penis and the other person's vagina, and your gender doesn't even matter, in other words.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
So, I guess I just wanted a little bit more detail about the abortive threesome. So you said later on there were repercussions, there were problems.
Right. So afterwards, we were there, but you know, eventually me and my girlfriend left, and later we were talking, and she was obviously uncomfortable about something. So
how could you have done that to me?
Well, I mean, she basically said, well, you know. How can I say no about it? The two of you are there, you know, saying, you know, both obviously wanting this, and it caused a lot of tension between us because I was like, well, you should have said something. That would have been fine, right? You know, it's something that I'm like, oh, I can't believe my girlfriend wouldn't have a threesome with her friend, right? She certainly wouldn't have said that.
Well,
you know, or even felt that. So,
despite the painful repercussions, I'd like to say that you also are my hero because you know.
You did it. You were in there.
You were there, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, I guess.
Well, thank you very, very much for sharing the cyber story. We'd love to have you on all night.
We can't spend more time with you.
Giving us backups. But we've got another person on hold. We've touched a nerve in the Pittsburgh community. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But we've got callers coming out of our, you know, collective
things.
Wazoo.
Wazai.
First, before I put the caller in the air, I want to share with our listeners, as the FCC mandates that I must, that this is WRCT Pittsburgh. I believe we invented the threesome in 1953 when this radio station was first incorporated. Mm-hmm. But without any further ado, I'd like to put the next caller on the air. Is the caller on the phone?
Yes, I am. I have my own threesome story, but maybe that's for next week since we're running out of time.
What? We have 5 minutes.
We've been given a special extension. We have about 4 minutes, yes.
Well, my question was actually from before with not running for office when there's naughty pictures out about you. I've never understood that.
But what if there were naughty
Okay, we have absolutely no interest in that. Can you tell us about your threesome story?
But what if there were naughty pictures of my threesome? Why couldn't I run for office?
I would totally vote for you.
Because everyone in the U.S. would be jealous of you, except for those few who have had threesomes.
Right. So back to the penetration. So we're burning up valuable time here with you, caller, and we expect payoff in the sexual sense. So tell us about your threesome.
And what do you want to know about it?
Everything. Every last sordid, wet, dripping detail.
So it was you, you're a male. Was it two women?
Two men?
Yeah.
Ah. Two women.
How did it get set up?
It kind of happened. I guess she was one of the girls was interested in my girlfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were kind of watching a movie and one
drinking?
Thing led to another and whatnot.
Well, what movie, by the way? This is very important for us.
It was Chasing Amy, you know.
Perfect.
Brilliant.
We've got to tell that to Bob.
Yeah, Bob Chasing Amy. It's all about the Chasing Amy.
Except for the threesome at the end, of course, is an abortive disaster.
Exactly.
It never happens, but...
Can you, you know...
Sorry to give away.
I have a policy here of not giving away the end of movies, but...
But then there's...
Okay, what was the intoxication level, caller?
Oh, there was none.
Was none. You're just watching a movie, and it was so... heady and erotic and all right.
Wow. So, and how did you can't just say it just happened. That's like saying, oh, the Manhattan Project just happened.
I just opened my eyes and you know, his penis was in my mouth. I don't know how it happened.
So you were sitting there on the couch with your girlfriend. Describe the couch situation. Was it?
It was actually a bed. We were on.
Excellent
sweet
step.
Move.
So what was it? It was like you girlfriend girl or girl you girlfriend what? Seating arrangement.
It was. I guess we were all more or less laying down. I guess it'd be me, girl, girl, and we basically took turns. You know, we picked somebody whose turn it was to have an orgasm.
Whoa!
Oh.
And
but there was none of this foolish like I'd like to rub your feet now. Would you like a back rub? You just move right to the orgasm thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really fascinated by that because if I can do that. Then I'm, you know, I'm there. I mean, where do I sign up for the lessons?
Again, this has been a theme with all our calls tonight. They have said, oh, so I was hanging out with some friends, and then there were 18 penises, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're skipping all the good stuff in here. So how did this happen? Like, it's not like you just said, oh, let's start giving each other orgasms, or did you?
I think that might actually have been said.
I mean, you're, like, lying there. You're
all
clothed.
We're all sitting there kind of like the movie's over, and we're looking at each other.
And someone just says, you know, I'd really like to come. That would be cool. I mean, what happened, really?
It's kids these days. How old are you, by the way, approximately?
I'm 21.
Oh, see, it's the younger generation. Yeah. They're far more open about their sexuality than we old-timers.
That's right. So, yeah, it's some. Who said it? Who do you think started this?
I can't remember exactly, but I do remember, like, turning to my girlfriend's friend and saying, like, basically, why don't we give my girlfriend an orgasm?
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. And it's like it's selfless. You were it wasn't something you're like greedy
like
for.
Speak into the mic, bizatch. It was let's or give my girlfriend a gentle loving orgasm.
Slurp my man gift was the line I usually use, which doesn't really put me anywhere.
Maybe man offering.
It makes
it sound
a little
less selfish. Yeah.
You know, this is such a you know, I wonder, I think we should actually make if we're ready to do this, can we make a commitment right now to continue this whole show next week at
on Halloween?
On Halloween, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yes.
Wow, that would be a very spooky Halloween for all of us. We're just out of time. I have to be polite to the next person. We've used up 5 minutes of his time, and we can't really go any further than that.
But we'll be here next Tuesday.
But you know,
night.
If you want to call in with extra threesome details for us, true or not?
Tuesday at 11, the very special Halloween episode of Sex Talk. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for all the callers. Obviously, we've touched a nerve.
And we must try to have a female panelist next week
yes.
as well.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And we should all actually commit. Everyone who's listening, it was part of my sphere of influence, my 10,000 points of light. I want you to all to go out and have a threesome this week
with one of us.
Use the techniques we've talked about and try to report back. Al Gore is going to be in town on Friday. Try to have sex with his daughters. You know, whatever it takes. And report Tuesday, Halloween, 11 o'clock. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for calling in. We love you. Good night.